Monday, the 23rd of April, 2018, at 10 o'clock. We have Mark Spertel present. We have Roy Watts and Kerry. We have Gary Erding on the telephone. We have Kerry Gibson. And on my cell phone for a few moments, we have Bob Barrett. And then we have Mike Moyal, resident in the audience today.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Trustee Gibson.
I may have trouble with coverage. If I have to call back, do you still have a quorum to conduct business?
We do. We have a full quorum right now.
Okay, I'm going to keep trying, but I'm in and out of coverage for maybe about a half hour. So we'll see what happens. I'll see what, if I drop off, if you'll, could I call this same number back, Shelley? Will it ring through to that number?
No, I will text you the conference call number.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
So where's your call?
Thank you. Sorry, okay. Mr. Chair.
Okay, no problem. Thank okay. you. And so I've got Bob on my mobile.
Okay, Bob, can you hear me?
Bob Barrett. Hello.
I hear you.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you the call-in number and the PIN.
In case you want
notes. To call into our meeting, it's 801-399-7907. Are you ready for the PIN?
That's the one I gave him this morning.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, go ahead and use that one.
Okay, here you go.
So, now we gotta call it.
Welcome to the Weber County Conference Bridge. Please enter your PIN number now. You are the first member of this conference call. Thank you.
So that means Hello? We lost Kerry?
No, he's right there. Are you there?
That's Bob.
We're good.
Yeah, Kerry's going to call back, and I'll give him, make sure he has the right number.
Okay, great. All right. All right. We're to item B in our agenda, public comment. No public comment. We'll move on to item C, approval of consent items. Number one is a request for approval of district bills to be paid. Items 365 to 374 in the amount of $107,644.33. Item number two is a request for ratification of motions approved at July 13th, 2017 board meeting, including approval of district bills to be paid, warrants 218 to 223, and approval of minutes from June 22nd, 2017 board meeting. And then the third is adoption of a policy regarding destruction of district property. Are there any comments regarding any of the items, our consent items under item C?
The reason we're doing all this 2017 stuff is just because of the bond, is that right? We're re-ratifying?
My guess would be that, and to clean up some things that are left that haven't been taken care of, Gary.
Okay.
Yep.
I think Roy and Kerry have found some loose ends, and we're just cleaning those things up so that we're in good shape also on paper as well.
Gotcha.
With all the things. And so,
gotcha.
Good point. Any other comments? None being recognized, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the consent item.
Chair recognizes Trustee Barrett as a motion and
second.
Mr. Trustee Erding as a second. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The consent items pass. Item number D, we will defer in as much as Ms. Anderson is not present with us. We'll move on to item number E, our manager's report. Mr. Watts, item four, go ahead.
I'm going to suggest that as I have been traveling a lot for the district, start looking for a vehicle for myself and putting a couple thousand miles a month on my little car. So what we contacted Zions Bank and asked them if we could do something through their lease program. And we did. I think that's in the packet.
It's in the packet under number
yeah,
four.
So it's in the packet. The problem is we'll probably need to look in the next little while. We just probably got the information back, and so we'll probably need to look at the how our budget's affected by it. But we thought what we were engaged with Zions on the previous lease, at least we would get any approvals or anything else taken care of. And then as we evaluate the upcoming 2019 budget, we may need to include it in that budget at that time. So it includes some dollar amounts with it. You can see the price of the trucks. It was acquired under the state bidding process. We don't have the truck, but that is the price for it. And so anyway, if I just want to make sure the board is comfortable with that and in acquiring one more vehicle. And again, based on the budgets there to cover it and take care of it. And that's something we'll continue to look at in the near future. But the big thing is, secure, do they provide a resolution?
I have resolutions in there.
So there's a resolution in there also to at least allow for the funding of it. We don't have to actually use the funds or anything else, but at least the resolution is taken care of and it's there for the future when we get ready to go. I don't want to wait for him to get back. Unless you have any questions about it. Just a half-ton Chevy truck, four-wheel drive. I've tried running that up and down with my little car, and it's probably not the best thing, especially in the wintertime. I guess you probably know what that's like, get up there on the mountain within a little car. It's probably not super good, but there, what my concern is there'll be a time or two in the next little while when I'll start actually taking some of the emergency calls for Evan. He'll need to take some time off, and I just don't want to be trying to drive up there in my little Kia with a pipe wrench in it, but a valve key in it that's 6 or 8 feet long. So it's just something moving forward. It's kind of the equipment that we're going to have. We'll buy other equipment and do other things as time goes on to get us ready to take care of the infrastructure, but that's one more piece that I'm going to have in the future.
So I'm okay to look at it in terms of the budget,
mm-hmm.
but let's make sure we're all good on that. I mean, you know, we're spending a lot of money. We don't have a lot coming in necessarily. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. If you feel totally comfortable with it now, want to wait, get a little more information later for the 2019 budget, that's fine.
I think I would feel better
okay.
doing it that
yeah,
way.
That's fine.
Roy, I want to make sure that we're also treating you fairly. Are we reimbursing you for mileage?
No. Again, it's probably not a big deal if that little car seems to be okay, but it gets on gas and stuff. But just going forward in the next few months, we ought to be looking at another vehicle.
Donations are great. We take those from about anybody the district does, but I don't expect you to be its principal donor with regards to that, because that I just think the cost of doing business is the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what, you know, I think the board should at least recognize some form of mileage reimbursement at whatever level, so that you're being at least fairly compensated from the vehicle position side of it as well. That's just my two cents on that.
That would be okay. Maybe we can do that for the next few months until we get the next budget set, or we should make sure that it's there for the future, but that'd be good.
That would be helpful too, because we'd see what it costs and
that's
then
right.
see if a truck is a better choice.
But I know you've been doing a lot of extra work and meetings and representing the district. I think, Gary, that's another good comment. It shows us what a true cost of doing business is to operate the district, and so I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Any other comments regarding that? Okay, item 5, Roy, or I'll just keep going through them if you
okay,
will.
Yep. This is the resolution for the new checking account. After we set that up, Zions forgot to tell us that we needed a resolution to actually have signers and make sure that the board is comfortable with moving the accounts to Zions Bank. So this is a resolution to actually do that. So we've actually set the accounts up and got the signatures and everything else, but this is just part of the business that needed to be done. So we do need this resolution approved to actually establish Zions Bank as our banking account. The board's made that choice and not management.
Okay. So with regards to Robert's Rules of Order, this would need to be specifically spelled out. And then we could maybe even do a call-in, but we should have a specific number with regards to the resolution so that it's spelled out so that it's accurate.
Under tab it's listed, 5?
I have right now, it's under item number 5 under the manager's report. Discussion, and or action of a resolution, new account for Zions Bank. We could do so. If one of you want to make a motion to that then?
I move that we utilize Zions Bank for our new account.
Okay, that'll work. Does the language suffice on that, Roy?
Yeah.
There's a copy of it under tab 5.
Yeah, if we need a motion to adopt the resolution, it's probably fine.
Okay, I have a motion by Trustee Barrett.
Second.
And a second by Trustee Erdang. If there's no more discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 6.
We have Mr. Moynal here. I've met with him several times about his development, and I guess you've been here other times, Mike, trying to get a will serve letter on his development. And as I've met with him, I've spent time looking over the will serve letters that have been given. There was some discussion about a feasibility letter that was needed, and anyway, reviewed all that, and as I did, I looked at the possibility to take care of any development that he would bring in, as well as other people. And Mike had proposed, I think we had suggested in one of our letters, we'll start letters to him, that we would cover 1 acre, one lot, and give him one service, and I believe that was forwarded to him based on the documentation that you have, and he was told that two or three times. And Mike wants more than that. He wants a development of 11 lots, was it Mike? Last design that he had sent to me. So again, reviewing the water sources that are available, there's no problem with the district providing him with a feasibility letter for sewer. We have the capacity to take care of 11 lots if he needs. The problem is the water. There's only a few sources. There is the Kobabe well, and any capacity in that well, and as I have researched, that is capacity is that capacity. So that well is utilized on that and based on agreements. Any other sources out there, the Kobabe family has claims on those through agreements. The other is possibility of going getting additional water out of Summit's wells that they are drilling, but that is the developer's well and or wells as we complete the Bloomington well. So it's prohibitive for us to do that. They have commitments on that with the county and with their developments and planned uses. So it makes it impossible to take water out of there. Mr. Moyal could go to Summit and buy some of that, I guess, some of their ERCs. But I don't know that they're willing to do that because they have planned development and total utilization of their resources. So I just don't see any other choice than for him to drill his own well and get a water right, like Summit's had to do, and or the district would have to do. The other choice would be the district would have to do that and then charge him for it, but the district doesn't have the resources to finance a well for a development. So that's kind of, I've gotten to the point where, I need to give him a feasibility letter or something, and I think it's gone on long enough. I think it needs to come to the board. The board needs to listen to Mr. Moyal, and he's going to have his own opinion about what probably ought to be done with it. But I don't see anything else the district can do other than what we've already done and stated in our previous letters. And right now it is the one, and I'm not sure how we actually came up with the one lot, even out of what is available. Everything's committed. And so, Mike, if you want to tell me your feelings about what you think is available, maybe the board at this point, what the deal is, Mike, is management can only go so far in what they can do based on rules, administrative rules that board sets, as well as contracts that are already in place. And so we've hit those roadblocks. At that point, then the board has to choose if they want to do anything further than that, and that's really where we're at right now. is that they're they'll have to make a choice if they can do something more, commit to something, maybe commit to a well, I don't know. But that's where we're at this point. I just can't find any way to do anything more. Now there's a chance that in the future, many years down the road, you and I talked about this, there could be a savings or a efficiency realized in the system, but I don't know that we know that. We have enough surety on that to give you commitment on it. That's our problem, is that we don't know that it's there. I assume that it may be there because, again, we know that it's seasonal use out there. But if there's a savings, again, with these new laws, the state will want to know about it. They may want to look at how we use the water and how it's committed. So our hands are still pretty tied as a district. But maybe if you know some things you think's out there that would help you. Good chance to state that, I guess, now, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
I was just actually thinking about that and how this works, but I know Mike's been in here a lot, and I have no problem with him addressing the board unless I have no problem with it. So you're welcome to do that now.
You have to move the table?
Or? Absolutely.
I want to apologize. I'm pretty sick today.
So
I guess have a seat.
Sure.
So upon my research, I found out that the Kobe well, when it was Pizzle Springs, I found a document that shows that my lot was given development opportunity for it back in 74. You guys have always paid the lease fees on that in that whole time. Every one of the lots that were addressed in that document that I found were given 100 shares. And according to Weaver Water Conservancy, they say that it's 0.45 shares per hookup, which just by itself would allow for over 200 hookups. I'm not privy to exactly how many hookups you guys have, but it's 120 something plus 20 something more commitments. Those are for full-time year-round residents, of which there are maybe three or four on the mountain. Everybody else is there, what, 2-3 months out of the year. Powder Mountain's a full-time resident, full-time user. A couple of my neighbors up at Powder Mountain West are full-timers. One of the Moon Ridge condos rents his place in the, either way, don't need to get specific, but there's probably less than 10 full-time users when the math is allowing for 200 plus full-time users. You guys have 134, 135 shares that would allow up to 300, close to 300, I think it's 297 hookups full-time. You only have 120 something. Summit has 1,400 shares, which would allow over 3,000 hookups. They have one hookup, I believe. Maybe two if you count the Sky Lodge. Okay, so I don't know where the water's going, but you put all that together with the infrastructure failing up there. From the main tank, it's going down to feed the rest of us from Timberline Lodge, Sundown, Powder Mountain. Everybody downhill from Hidden Lake is going through a 4-inch cast iron line. They should have failed. It's already failed, I don't know how many times in the last couple decades, few decades. I proposed to put an 8-inch line through my existing property. That would give redundancy and a backup plan for that thing. Whenever it fails, you guys will be able to shut it off and still feed water to everybody. So I'm not just coming to the table asking for water. I'm asking to help upgrade the infrastructure at my expense. And for that, I'm asking to get what I'm already entitled to. I just, again, if you guys don't see it, my attorneys will find where I'm entitled to the water, because this came all pre-summit. There's no reason for it not to be there. So if it's not there, you gotta figure out what's going on with it. And Pizzle Springs provided us water for all these decades, and that was a pressure spring that just came up. We're gonna go down and get it and pump it up. I can't imagine there being any less water down there than there's been for the decades. So all the lots that were given these 100 shares back in 74, they've been developed into multiple lots. Again, I'm the last one that I could find. There's actually five more up there that should it need to go further legally, I'm going to just let these people know that we're all getting treated unfairly, I should say. by the district, by the county, by whoever's in charge of not letting us divide our lots. Kobabe, Dr. Kobabe, sold these lots with the understanding that they're to be developed. They're all zoned for the redevelopment. They've all been redeveloped. My lot's still allowed, I believe, according to the county, we're from 30 to 40 units. So asking for 11 is substantially lower than what it was originally anticipated to be developed into. My adjacent lot is Powder Ridge Timeshares. How many units do they have? Like 30, 40 units over there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 10 years ago, the district accepted $172,000 payment for half of the 30 hookups that never finally got hooked up. So those 30 hookups, I'm asking for 11 of those 30. There's still 19 in surplus. So I don't know where or how my lot's only entitled to one. I understand the reason that they thought I was only entitled to one is because I've been paying one standby fee. And the reason I've been paying one standby fee is because it's one parcel number. To get past the one parcel number, I need the feasibility letter. Then I can subdivide, get multiple parcel numbers, and start paying multiple standby fees. So if the district's poor, which it sounds like it's not in great financial shape, people like me are out here. We need to be able to get back in and pay you the $11,000 hookup and full water fees. There's a lot of money out there that's not being claimed. As for the upgrade to the infrastructure, I'm gonna be one of the first ones yelling. I used to be a full-time resident up there. I think I spent maybe 2 weeks up there in the last 12 months. I live off-site too, so if I go up there on a weekend, there's no water. Well, Powder Mountain's gonna be the first one crying for water. They're not gonna, is there anything else other than that 4-inch cast iron line providing water to the mountain?
Not to Powder West, you mean?
To everybody, to everybody downhill from Hidden Lake.
Yeah, you're getting it from Hidden Lake, but it is through that 4-inch line for everything below Hidden Lake.
Everything below Hidden Lake is coming from a 30-year-old cast iron line that, according to my sources, could be running anywhere from 8 to 10 inches below the surface right now.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be replaced, there's no doubt about it.
It needs to be replaced, okay. So I'm offering a chance for you guys to get more money and help upgrade the infrastructure, but I need to be able to move forward. I've wasted almost 2 years now. July will be 2 years on this thing. So I'm not gonna make a couple of comments.
So Mike, just a couple of things that I've learned since I've joined this. For one, we aren't allowed to, the state requires that the well provide 800 gallons per day per house, regardless of how much we use, which is far, to your point, far, far less. So we're not, I don't think we're allowed to say, well, you know, we only need an eighth of what our capacity is to provide that. So I think that's one thing. But one thing that you said that's interesting, the water shares thing, I think we need to, and you guys jump in if you know the answer to this, and because Rachel's not here, we need to reconcile what you just said with, for example, the easement for the new Kobabe well that you know, I believe, I haven't seen it, you know, kind of caps how much water we're allowed to have on our side of the hill. So what I guess what I'm saying is there are some issues. What you bring up may be valid. It may be that there is, you do have a water right that would be enforceable, but I'm not sure you haven't reviewed that part of it, right? Or have you?
Yeah, the one thing I do know is that the there's an agreement that allows for the everything additional that's in Kobabe is contractually given
right
to the developers.
Right, that's the
so
easement.
That's where any surplus might have been. Now, Mike brings up an interesting question that some of that was pre, some of the developments that are out there were pre-Summit. And
that's what I'm
confused
about.
I don't know what arrangements were made back in those days. I can't really find anything that says there was anything committed to them.
So we should make sure that those things.
Yeah, I'd love
agree.
I
think it's a legal question.
No, that making sure that they're verify that there is some claim or some additional water for you, that maybe there's something out there that says there is.
Okay, so look at that water document. Sorry, excuse me. The document that I found from the county recorder's office has my lot number ending in 0082. All the others are discontinued because they've been subdivided. So this is the last remaining. There's a couple more. Did you find any, by any chance?
I haven't had a chance.
Research, but it's one of the lots that was divided. When I say pre-Summit, I mean Summit didn't exist. Kobe had never intended to develop the land that Summit's developing. Mm-hmm. Summit has 1,400 shares. The entire district only has 134. Those 1,400 shares should have gone to the district. Have they gone to the district yet?
No.
Okay. The easement states 124 hookups, 24 contractually obligations. Am I one of those 24? Carrie? I believe I'm one of the 24.
I think you are, Mike.
But it also identifies 3 years to identify more obligations. I'm one of those more obligations. The district has an obligation to allow me to develop the property, subdivide, and then provide me water for it. I'm not going to use those 11 shares. Right now the plan is for 6. Okay, and as far as negotiating with Summit, I'm also working that angle too. So I don't know what I'm going to have to talk to you about a couple of things, but I'm doing everything I can. But then again, my attorney and the state ombudsman say that easement is illegal. There was no reason to ever sign that easement. That easement was signed as a easy way to get that tiny little easement you needed, mm-hmm. when it would have been gotten by eminent domain just by asking. It would have taken, I believe, one application.
You're talking about the easement?
The easement that was signed. The easement that was signed that gave all the water, the surplus water back to Summit, that doesn't need it. They have more than enough shares. I can buy shares. I'm not allowed by law to drill a well. It's in too close a proximity to the other two wells. So even if I wanted to drill a well, I can't do it.
Okay. So maybe the next step is for you to give us whatever those documents are that
I've provided as many documents.
Do you have
as
it?
We do have the. I mean, part of our water right. We have the 100 shares from Weaver Basin. We have that documentation. It does list on there a number of lots. It's kind of funny. It said in the beginning of that, it says but excluding those lots. But I don't think that language carried over to the next page. But it's just kind of interesting. But it didn't have your lot on there. I saw that.
That easement, in my opinion, that easement was, that document was made to stop people like me, if not specifically me, because there was some illegal action taken by Summit, some of the founding members of Summit, on my land, that destruction of private property, trespassing. There was a lot of issues that I didn't overlook entirely. I filed complaints with the sheriff's department, but I didn't put names on them because I didn't want to cause any bad publicity to the mountain, into the Summit founders.
I mean to cut you off. It sounds like either from a legal perspective, either what you're saying is right, that you mm-hmm. have this thing that gives you rights that the easement took away, and I don't know if it's allowed to take it away or not. But it seems like with an attorney, we could solve at least the legal question of what the answer is as a board, you know?
Yeah, I looked at it and it appears that they could, based on the agreement, but I think maybe it's worth it to chase it with your attorney a little ways and see if there's anything else we can do.
So with that said, I've asked for the board's attorney's information. I've never gotten it. Mm-hmm. And the reason was to avoid legal action, so.
Yeah, I think that we need to hear the board, have the board address this first before we go to our attorney, because they may have a whole different perspective.
I know, but now it's becoming times of the essence. My 3 years started whenever you guys signed that easement last year. I'm not going to wait till the last minute anymore. So I really need to know how to proceed on this thing. And then I started thinking, I've gotten this far, but I'm never suing anybody in my life. If I do this one, it's going to be big. I'm going to take everybody with me that's in the same boat as me. And there's a lot of us. Unfortunately, my neighbor that I'm actually negotiating to purchase his land, he doesn't have one or two attorneys like me. He has 5 or 6 law firms.
Yeah.
And he's already got them paid. So I'm gonna let this guy fight the fight. And once he starts it, he's not gonna stop. And he happens to be the same one that has proof that the $172,000 was paid to the district for the 30 hookups. So again, I'm not threatening to cause trouble. I don't want to cause trouble. I want to just ski that mountain and I want to live there. But the fact is, Summit founding members, we're talking Greg Moore with Elliot specifically, have told me that I will develop their ridgeline, that means my land, over their dead bodies.
So let's just ignore those guys for now, because I don't think that's necessarily relevant. So to me, there's a legal question about whether or not you have water rights. We can answer that with our attorneys.
Then let's do it. How long do you need to address that, please? Tell me.
Okay, I don't know. First off, Mike.
Yes.
I realize that you're in the questioning, but let's get this back. Do you have anything else under your presentation?
That's it.
Okay, great. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Okay, board, let's go ahead and discuss this now.
Gotcha. Can I go? Am I welcome to stay here?
You're welcome to stay if you'd like to also. What's your board members, what's your take on this?
I agree with
Bob, Gary. Are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I agree with Gary that if it's as simple as a legal question, we just engage our attorney and have them answer the legal question as far as we can answer it with the items that we have in our possession.
I agree. I mean, you know, it's like if the legal opinion is no, we have to give, we should give Mike the stuff. We figure we do that, and I assume that, well, whatever. You know, let's just find out. You know, what do we have exposure? If we have exposure, then that's a different answer than no, we don't have any exposure, and we have to live with the agreements that the state rules and the.
Exactly. Yeah. Any other comments? No comments being recognized. I think then, from what I'm hearing with regards to the board, it would be then we have the attorneys make a ruling. Roy, Carrie, will you please get with the attorneys and make a ruling? What I'd like to do is see if we could get this reviewed in the next 2 weeks, and then so that we can get an official answer. I would also like to get an answer in writing.
Yep.
So that we could then forward that on to Mr. Moyal and anyone else who would have interest on the mountain. Does that seem to be good for the board? You guys feel all right
Absolutely.
With that? Great. So Mr. Moyal, we'll get an answer within the next 2 weeks from the attorney, and then you can expect to hear from the Powder Mountain manager or Kerry.
And we have everything that you have, right, Mike, in terms of documentation?
No.
Do you want to provide that? So
no,
we can,
not anymore. I've given as much as I'm willing to give right now.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, if we're trying to actually get a resolution,
I know,
we should have all the facts.
But
so
I feel that I've done more than my share, and the rest is the rest will be in discovery if necessary. Right now, it's 2 years worth of work.
I don't. I guess the reason I'm confused is, if what you're saying is you have documents that will prove that you should get the water. And what we're saying is that if that's true, we will be compelled to give you the water, I think.
You have, right now, I've given enough documents that you should be compelled to give it.
Okay, I'm going to make a statement
here.
I've been on here for 15 months. I haven't seen those documents. I'm just letting you know. So for me, all I'm going to do is have to take your word for it without having seen anything. So realize that my education, I've only got 15 months, 16 months of this. It's hearsay. I'm telling you what, and I can respect where you're coming from. I personally would love to see you do very well up there. I'd love to see that thing just blow up, and as well as I'd love to see it all go very well. But I'm not really good with hearsay. I'm a data guy. So I'm just letting you know that. Roy, I think the board's to the point now where we've heard from Mr. Moyal. Out of respect, we've allowed him to make a presentation. We've made a decision. Let's go forward then with our attorney and find out where we are. And things will land where things will land, and we'll do the best with the information that we have. Okay, great. Great. Well, let's move on to item number seven.
You're going to have to get a smaller truck now, Roy.
What's that?
We're spending some of your truck.
Yeah, I'll hold that off for another year.
Discussion and or action on authorization to hire Matt Jensen for specialized water right issues.
Mr. Chairman, there is one more item on there. So we have the summits. Request.
Boy, did I miss that. Which item is it?
It's the same one.
SMHG.
Under six.
Under six.
SMG, excuse me.
Yeah.
SMHG under future development, okay.
So we've been working with Summit on getting the details on their their feasibility letters and their requests that they have. And so we've, in fact, even over the weekend, we've been working with their engineer and their attorney to solidify this and make sure that we get a good feasibility letter. And in doing that, we've tried to separate the difference between feasibility and will serve. And then the feasibility letter basically says it is feasible for us to serve their developments. The will serve actually will come later when all the infrastructure and all the, a lot of major stuff is being completed. But it is feasible for us to serve them. Also, as we have looked at the ERCs, we have verified the quantity that they have installed and what we've committed to, as well as what they are asking for. So on the letter you'll see in your packet under item number 6, you'll see the feasibility letters being proposed. There is an additional 83 ERUs that's being requested by them. And there's also some supporting information on the back, and also you barely can see in these lots, but you can see the overlook and Bobcat, that's where they're going to be used. Tomorrow we're going to meet with their attorney, with our engineer, myself, we will analyze the timing of their well to make sure that the second source is coming online at a rate that allow us to make sure we can serve that, take care of those developments. The big thing was timing and somebody actually living there and having a redundant source. But as we have looked at it, there will not be any structures being built on that that'll necessarily give us any concern with the state for probably 18 months. And so we do have one lot connected out of the 154. This actually is connected to the system, but that is it. Everything else is really platting and working with the county to get the developments moving along, getting them ready for sale someday in the future. So our concern always was with the final report to the state that we had everything in place and that we were able to serve them. We know as we move forward with the development of the well that we can, along in conjunction with Summit, that we can control the ability to allow people in those homes before we actually get those approvals from the state. So I'm comfortable in suggesting to the board that the feasibility letter be approved. Again, it just allows Summit to get their lots platted and just to keep moving forward. And as that well is comes online, probably August, my guess is July and August is, again, we'll meet tomorrow and make sure we have that time frame and that we're working very closely with them. But I just wanted the board to know that we're on top of that and we're working with them, and I feel comfortable with the fact of where it's moving. We know we have the Kobe well also that's going to be work started here in the next few weeks. Our contractor is scheduled to come on site in sometime the 1st of May. Mm-hmm. So we'll be working for the second source on the district's end also. Of course, I guess all we'll have is that 4-inch line to hook up to, but we will have a second source. And we do have a water right for that. Not that we're gonna pump everything that we'll ever need, but we do have a second source and enough volume to take care of the second source. So I guess, my recommendation is that we approve the additional 83 ERUs and let the developer move ahead. There will be time for a feasibility or for a will serve letter to be issued by the board for all their developments. So,
are they legal with regards to the argument that Mr. Moyal had? Or do we have the capacities and we have the hookups where they planned in and
yes,
everything's good? Because it.
Exactly.
I don't want it to show some kind of favoritism that we took these other ERUs and over Mike or whatever. It's a personal thing. I want to make sure that we don't have any exposure to liability there because here we're doing this right now.
No, we don't, because the agreements are completely different. There are agreements in place to allow Summit to develop and for the water sources to be committed. It's their water source that they are utilizing. We're analyzing those and proving those based on the capacities in the wells, but that's their infrastructure. The difference yeah. with Mike's request is that he's it's an existing infrastructure, and it's pre-summit needs. And what's out there, I don't know if there's something that he has that says we should serve him water. I personally think someday in the future there is capacity in the system, but I don't know we have the proof of that. But his situation is completely different than this request.
Yes.
This is being analyzed by the state, by the county, by the district, and they have the resources in place and the infrastructure to take care of their request. And so it is a totally different thing.
Is there a motion then? On those,
I move that we issue a feasibility letter.
There's a motion.
The summit, as Roy's described.
Okay,
it's in your packet, so we'll do that some.
There's a motion by Trustee Barron. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Trustee Erdang. Is there any more discussion on the matter? None being heard. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Trustee Gibson, are you on the phone? Okay. I want to say before we go on to item number 7, and I'll just make this, it's still a public meeting, I do not respond well to threats or bully tactics by anyone.
Yep.
Just letting you know. So I would like the board members to help me through this maybe in the future, because it's all I can do to just refrain myself from that. Ever since I was in junior high or high school, I was pushed to the front of the crowd. I don't deal well with that type of a, call it professional or call it whatever you want to call it. I'm being a good guy. Out of the fairgrounds, we had two words for that. The first one was either bovine or equine, and the next one was fecal matter. Boy, that's three words. So, all right, item 7, discussion and or action or an authorization to hire Matt Jensen for specialized water right issues. That's you, Roy.
Mm-hmm. So
let's do it.
Yeah, I know that we've talked in the past that we need.
In the interest of time.
Yep. He's a great guy. We've talked to him about his skill and abilities. We've actually contacted the Attorney General's office and talked to the state engineer, and he is probably one of the better attorneys in the state. The thing about him is he can actually get something done without spending a lot of time and research on this. So any legal matter we'll have with water rights, he would be a specialized attorney, realizing that our present attorney would take care of the corporate issues, but Matt would be the one that we'd turn to deal with issues that arise in our water rights.
Very good. Trustee.
Can we have a motion?
Trustee Gary, any other comments? Okay.
There's not a specific thing we're using them for right now. It's just in general, or is this related to our conversations last month?
It's related to our conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
Just it's more of a specialized guy.
Gotcha.
Okay, great. Trustee Barron, I understand you're ready to make a motion. Go ahead.
I move that we hire Matt Jensen for specialized water right issues.
There's that first. And is there Sarah second? Mark, recognized as a second. No more discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And item 8 is discussion or interaction of proposed declaration for annexation into our district for Summit.
I just wanted to bring this up to the board because as I've talked with Don and Dan Winston, as well as I think Mark, you've been aware of some of these discussions. And I spoke with John Bond about the possibility of changing the district boundary to match Summit's proposed developments. I think it eliminates the need for multiple annexations and added cost to the developer. The cost of an annexation is around $10,000 to them with their engineers and our expenses. So if we were to do one annexation, and I think this was brought up about 3 other times according to John Bond with the county, John just told me that he would pursue it one more time and he doesn't want any part of it after that. But so it would be much easier with one landowner to bring that whole boundary, all their future plans into the district with one boundary change. It seems to be smarter, seems to be by far less expensive. The one concern was how do we keep them tax neutral in doing this? Well, an ad valorem tax, mill levy tax, whatever you want to call it, is only based on our budget. Our budget right now calls for about 20-something thousand dollars, and it's spread amongst everybody within the district boundaries. And so as Summit sells off the lots, then their cost gets diluted by the number of participants based on values of property and such. So we get a piece of the county's tax within that boundary. So their taxing burden will continue to drop as more parcels are sold, but it's got to be much cheaper, and we'll analyze that. But I want to make sure the board's okay with that as we analyze and as we move ahead. Do one annexation, trying to define as much as we can of where the district boundaries might be, and get them all in.
Right.
Yes.
This is a hugely positive development from my perspective. It certainly would make sense to have a single additional annexation that includes all the boundaries of property Summit owns that potentially within our district. It's got to be a cost saver for them. The tax issues, I mean, we can sort that out, but I'm very much persuaded that this is a hugely positive step forward.
I think it'll help the district to say to the developer that we're there to support them, to cover their needs, and we focus our plans and our future plans on their developments. They are going to be the biggest customer, and all the folks that take a residence up there. So it just makes sense for us to make plans for everything we do to plan for those developments. I mean, that's their goals, that's their intentions, and it ought to be our master plan also.
Got it.
So great. You comfortable with that? Is the board comfortable with that?
Yes.
Any other comments? Is a motion needed on this one then?
I don't. Not at this point. We'll need to bring that whole annexation process back to the board, and might take a few meetings to do it.
I'm for to just say out loud that there's the consensus of this board, and please, board members present, if you feel differently, now's the time to speak. But Roy, it's the consensus of this board that you have support on that item.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Let's move for the now the report on leak on the mountain.
I wanted to bring a couple of, bring this up to the board because there could be a potential problem with the main line. The poly line that we have on the mountain has the services welded into the main, and we've had, I think it's the third one now that has broken loose at the main. So
the welds are failing?
Yeah, the weld. Yeah, and we lost quite a bit of water over the last several months. And Evan's been tracking it. I know Paul knew about it. They're just trying to determine where it was. But they did find it. But when that was isolated and turned off, that the demand reduced dramatically in the well. So we were losing a lot of water out of it. So
where was it? Where was the leak?
Not knowing the area well enough. It's clear over by Sliver, I think they call it, the new phase.
Is
it
almost out in the village?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was a leak in the new stuff, not the old stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we want to prevent that from ever happening, and it may mean the district will have to either help get somebody to help us, or we will need to buy leak detection equipment. It's fairly expensive, but it's fairly expensive to lose that much water also. Gosh, we were losing about a foot a day of wasted water for almost a year. I think it was about, ends up being probably 7 to 10 acre feet that was lost. Jeez. We're trying to mitigate that much. So it can't ever happen again. So I talked with Evan about either getting somebody to help us, but the previous contractor that installed it talks like they may help us to do a leak detection test on the entire main. But going forward, it could leak at any time. So I'm thinking we may have to do that ourselves in order to protect ourselves. Plus, if that were to leak and cause some washout on the other side, expensive homes below you, I don't think we could ever afford that. So we're going to have to be proactive, and that may be one of those things we just have to buy and do leak detection on the main on a regular basis, especially knowing that this is a potential problem.
Is there any warranty with the work that the original contractor put in to protect
against Yeah, it appears that it's already over. But we've contacted them, and they're coming back to, they will come back and fix it. So they've been gracious enough to repair it.
On their dime or our dime?
On theirs.
Well, that's great.
I was up there, I've made several trips up there. I go up on my own, unannounced, just looking over things. I did that 5 or 6 times last year. And I'm no pro at any of the sub stuff, but I do have 30 years of construction experience. This is our 30th year. And there were some things that concerned me or alarmed me. So that's why I asked specifically with regards to, is there a warranty or, and I realized that there's some approvals and some permits and things, but there's some things that have me worried. And so
yeah.
I'm glad to know that they're fixing that.
They are. How far we can push all of that, I'm not sure. But the fact that we've lost, had three failures on the main. I talked to Paul, and so he and I are going to go talk. We'll talk with the contractor and put them on notice that they may be obligated for all of the services. At this point, they've basically claimed that it's a failure and willing to help us. So I think if they're admittance, so that means that they'll need to help us fix everything. They're liable.
Yeah. If it has to do with the material that they put in, or the quality of craftsmanship with the welds, or the way that it was packed back, or you know, that's none of that is our fault. That has to do with the quality of construction, quality of craftsmanship. And in my little plumbing business, we guarantee our stuff for the life of the home. So, but ours is not just is plumbing. So we are very specific with regards to the material we put in so that we can make that claim. We're very specific with the glues and the clamping and all that other things. So I don't mean to belabor this, but this is a concern for me. That stuff should never be happening, especially the third time.
And keep in mind, the entire water use of our entire district runs about 17 acre feet a year. We've got a 7 acre foot leak.
Yeah. So, you know, one other thing we talked about a couple of months ago, before you came on, was we talked about ways to mitigate that 800 gallon a day requirement. And what Paul said was we need minute by minute metering of the water, and he said it's just a switch we have to switch on the meters and whatever we're doing. If we had that, we'd be able to reconcile at the end of each month how much we shipped and how much was consumed, and know at least within 30 days if we ever have a leak. Or
exactly,
can we make that a priority?
Right now, what they're doing is they take the difference between what's pumped and what's actually sold.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that ends up being a month out, and sometimes there's some of those that are estimated, and so you could be off.
Yep.
But I know that there's technology to allow you to put meters, and they're usually a Doppler type or a flow meter that they put a probe that actually goes to the main. And we should be able to measure the water going out different directions out of our main lines, out of the tank. So if one starts to spike, then we know we have a leak.
Yeah.
So I think with this new pump house going in, that's one of the things we'll talk about tomorrow, that coming out of those tanks, going connecting to the main, that we have a meter box and a meter that measures the water going into the main.
Yep.
So we can analyze it going different directions. We know if the leaks down Powder West, we have a meter there. If we have one going over to the newer developments, we know that it's there.
Perfect. And what about the second, closing the second half, which is getting that minute by minute metering?
That's easy to do, because the meters would actually come back with a telemetry or a SCADA reading, which we're watching real time. And then if we send that all into a SCADA, you should have charting, and so you'll be able to watch any change in it all day long. So if we're sitting up there in the summertime with very little use, and all of a sudden we're spiking, then we know we've got a leak.
Okay. And the last part of that would be at the houses themselves. I thought that's where we needed to also capture it.
Yeah, and so we have radio read meters.
Uh-huh.
And so we could go through and read those anytime we wanted to.
Yeah. In terms of when you do read it, do you now pick up that granular data, the minute by minute? We get it now?
I think it gives you, I don't know if I've seen his chart, but it's monthly, probably a totalization.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Paul was saying,
I'll take a look at it and see if there's a way on each house to do a
He said they were they were capable of that now.
I think they probably are.
So let's pick that up.
Okay.
And then, you know.
Yeah, we'll do that. Maybe we can do a more regular read than that if we're checking them maybe on a weekly basis or something.
It's only 100 houses, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Okay.
That'd be great.
Cool. We'll Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good suggestion. Let's move on to item 10 in our manager's report, a report on impact analysis.
So So we're working through the impact fee analysis right now for both the sewer and water. They've completed most of the water analysis, and we're also scheduling the meeting for next month. So next board meeting, we should come to the board with, everything should be ready to go. The hearings are being noticed, and the engineers and Zions Bank and everybody's working on those numbers, crunching them. So by that meeting, we should have the resolution to adopt the impact fees and the analysis. Great. I just wanted to bring you up to date, just planning on next meeting, and you'll be getting the information prior to that to look at.
And is it looking like what we're charging is right, or it's looking like?
I think I think the water impact fee should go down.
Okay.
Sewer, I haven't seen the numbers on that yet. They're still working on
it. Well, during our next meeting too, you'll also be able to report on the drilling, all the activity and everything like that.
Yep.
Any other comment on item 10, trustees?
Nope.
And let's move to item number 11, the report on the Kobe well, which I just alluded to.
Yeah, so I think that's in there, Carrie, isn't it?
No.
Okay, so we received a schedule from our engineer, and I'm just going to hurry really quick and see if I had this, so I can just tell you. So we've been trying to get a good schedule from the contractor and when they're going to actually start. Where are you at? I'm going to look at board here really quick. I think I have it. Paul just sent that to me over the weekend also. There we go, drilling schedule. So Paul, our engineer, said that Zim Industries have indicated that they will be on site with the shallow casing auger drill rig within 2 to 3 weeks, and they will have the deep well drill rig on site in 3 to 4 weeks. Now they have until, looking at the agreements, they have until July to be done. I did speak with the contractor, and they're comfortable with the timing. They're completing a job right now out in Lehigh or Linden or someplace, and they'll be moving their equipment up. And so either Mark from CRS or Paul will be working with them to have a pre-construction meeting and getting them mobilized. And so it is moving along to the next, probably by the end of May, it sounds like they'll be on site. And I believe Mark, Summers developer or well contractor will be on site also this next month, from what I understand.
That's the hope. I don't know if we've gotten final confirmation. But
That's to finish Bloomington?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Okay, to finish Bloomington?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and by the way, in our meeting tomorrow with your engineers, we'll know more about that, but their indication is that they're getting ready to move up there also. So both rigs will be on the mountain at about the same time, and we should be seeing those all completed somewhere around the August timeframe.
One question about the Kobabe one. In the packet, there was a schedule and pricing, and it showed mobilization, demobilization last year, and then again this year. Do we save any money off of that original quote because we're staying on site instead of tearing it down and coming back?
Yeah, they did tear it down and left, but
I mean on Kobabe.
On Kobabe.
Kobabe, it was the original quote says, we're going to do some stuff last year.
Mobilize,
go
then come
away,
back, and remobilize.
Then come back. And that mobilize, demobilize was like $68,000. So
yeah,
do we save anything? Should we talk to them? Can you talk to them and find out if we can save?
I didn't really think about it or address it or anything, but I'll look it up.
It's a good catch, Gary.
Okay. Well,
any other trustees, any other thing on the Kobabe? Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Trustee Barron.
I remain concerned that we've not apparently put any effort into identifying what the next steps might be if we have a successful test well at Kobabe. I brought this up at the last meeting. I feel that we need to solicit broad-based RFP for engineering services to look at how we're actually going to deliver water from Kobabe to our existing customers and get it up the hill. Right now, from Hidden Lake tank, there is a single line that's gravity fed that comes down Timberline. Presumably, we'd have to put another line in there, plus two and possibly three additional pump stations to get water from Kobabe to our existing distribution systems. As an important backdrop, keep in mind that we've got serious leaks going on in our system, and we're essentially running Hidden Lake well unnecessarily. Keep in mind that Bloomington well has not been proven yet.
it is possible that there is a nightmare scenario in which Bloomington Well actually interferes with Hidden Lake Well. It was much talked about. It was viewed to be an acceptable risk, but it's possible that once we prove Bloomington Well, that we have a problem with Hidden Lake Well. We desperately need a second source. Kobe represents a home run if it's a successful test well, and I'm very much concerned that seemingly we've not been able to move forward on engineering the next step at Kobe Well, again, namely construction of pump stations, identification of the pipes that need to be done, and I want multiple firms to submit bids, and I expect that our engineer would be able to review those bids and analyze those designs and provide the board feedback. I do not want this to be a last-minute sort of hurry-up-and-rush decision. Different engineering firms need to be involved. This is not a slam-dunk handoff to CRS.
I concur.
Okay. So any other comments from any other comments? Trustee Barron, Trustee Mark, Patel.
So to do that, what do we need to do?
So
I mean, do we just say
make a motion? Or have me go do something? I'll go do it.
Yeah.
I'll Bob, do you want to make a motion? I don't know if everyone.
You know, Roy, you knew I was going.
Oh, it needs to be done. I mean, everybody knows. It's just what Mike brought up, and I know it too. That line is fragile. Poorly installed and undersized, and we need to be.
It's a pressure. What had previously been a pressurized line,
yeah.
A one-way pressurized line, but now it's gravity fed, and we need to get to the top of the mountain with Kobe Well water.
I would agree. Just to add one more comment. I mean, you know, if we start tomorrow and work at top speed, you know. Given the way the world works, we'll still be kind of getting this going when the well is completed. So it's not like we're moving too fast, right? We need to be doing
what?
This when the well is done. And Bob, if you do make a motion, I'm happy to second it because I heard if you do 10 seconds in a meeting, you get a free slice of pizza.
Chair will recognize a motion.
Bob, are you there?
I mean, yeah. I mean, what, you know, I move that we begin to analyze next steps at Kobe Well, assuming a successful test well,
and
whatever that means. I mean, it's pretty broad, but I'm not even sure it needs to be a motion. I think we need to instruct our engineer to do this.
Okay. Well, let's just, you know what, that's you're right, and I'll pull that back, but that's just good common practice, and so by the consensus of the board, then let's just go ahead with good business practice and make sure that we've got at least three different bidders on the project. Can you do that, Roy?
And that's for the pipeline? I mean, Kobe Well's already
Kobe
done,
Well's done, so that
but
be
you're talking about the well and the lift station or
yeah.
the booster stations and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the pump station, any additional infrastructure that would be required, any additional upgrades
sure.
in both directions up the hill and within the existing customer base.
Yeah, okay. And then one last thing. I was looking online. There are companies that sell prefabricated lift station, pump
mm-hmm.
stations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, with our building time frame,
yeah.
maybe that's worth exploring.
They could.
Well.
I've seen them too. They just bring them in, hook up the plumbing to them, and turn it on, basically. Ready to
yep.
go. Yep.
So there, yeah, a lot of that seems to be
modular.
They bring in the completed. They do that with hotel rooms now. So.
Yeah.
Okay, great. If you would. All right, then we're on to item number 12, a report on letter sent to Gordon James regarding the district records.
Yeah, as some of you may have heard us talking about the fact that a previous CPA who's doing the audits for the district had multiple records that Carrie and Paul, and mostly Carrie, had gone and gathered a lot of records. We realized that he's been accumulating those records, has a number of important documents that are important to the district, and they are public files. But in contacting him, I know that he gave a number of documents to Kerry, and he had additional documents, and actually I think he was going to give a bunch to Mike Moyal, which I think is illegal because those are protected records and documents. And if he had been doing that, then he has been giving away private information that's against the law to be doing so without a proper Government Records Management Act request. So it could be he's in a lot of trouble. So we had Rachel send a letter to him stating that fact. I believe that letter's...
It's on tab 11. It's dated on the 11th of April.
Yeah, so do we basically tell him that we wanted our records? I called him afterwards. And he said, I've given you all the records that I have. But prior to that, he said, I would give these records to Mike or whoever needs them. So he indicated at that point that he had our records. And then afterwards he said, no, I don't have any more. And I gave you all I'm going to give you. You didn't give me my $600 for me giving you your records. So we said, well, why should we have to pay for records that are ours? And he said, well, they're my records. And I said, no, they're the public's records.
So my only concern is through this letter that Rachel put out there, is there's no demand date. She says, hey, we need to get it. You need to get those back to us, but get us back to them by such and such a date or we'll proceed further.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so we've been in touch with the Division of Archives, mm-hmm. right, Kerry? Okay. State Archives. And they're the ones that actually regulate these and trying to get some help from them because they can actually throw some weight by the state behind it. But we're just at a point now where we're going to move ahead and chase after it further legally. But we want to let you know what we're doing.
So my recommendation, sorry to be so outspoken, but if we haven't seen anything by even this Friday night, I'd like the first thing Monday morning of next week or the 30th, just hit him with the state or something else because he's then had plenty of time to respond.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do anything. He believes it.
I agree with that, Jim.
Believes he doesn't have to.
That's great. Let's have the state involved, and that's even a. This is nonsense. And we're taking up time, which. This is nonsense.
Yep.
Is there any other discussion on that, or can the board support that?
Yep.
I support it.
Mark, you good?
Yep, absolutely.
Great. All right, let's go with the report on sewer easements for Eden Heights, number 13.
I think we've all known that the agreement that the district has with Eden Heights, Yamagata, is pretty onerous and difficult for us to work on. We wanted to verify before we went too far with renegotiating or talking to them that we looked at anything that's out there that might cause us problems. So we've been chasing down the easements to make sure the district had easements in place. Carrie's done a great job in locating those as she's been doing abstract research for the county records. And so we do have easements coming out of not Snowflake, but out of
the preserve
up to the ponds. So there are recorded easements for those. Our engineers are going to draft those on, put them on the map so we can actually see where they're at and make sure that they line up with where our infrastructure is. And then we're still looking for the ones coming across through Snowflake and over to the ponds. Haven't found those yet, but in talking with Paul Southwick, he said, yes, I know they're there. I know they were recorded. And it seems to indicate in the agreement that we have with Yamagata that they recognize there are easements. I don't think that's their big concern or control. It's mostly on the ponds themselves or the retention ponds. And so there'll be a time when we'll have to renegotiate that agreement. And I know that it's going to be very involved. I've looked at it extensively this weekend, and there is no way out of that agreement. We're committed. And they have 300 connections. Basically says if we build another facility, they still have access to it and rights in it. It's a terrible agreement. I don't know how to explain it. It's just bad. I would have never signed anything like that ever. I'm not sure why the district did back in the day, but we're basically tied into those, and we will pay them $300,000+ for every acre that those ponds sit on, and or we can't. It says we can't condemn it. We can't escape it. We are committed to that company forever. And so The only option that we have, there's one looked at with the possibility of going to Summit and maybe Summit buying that property and renegotiating something with Yamagata to give them additional property somewhere else. That's a possibility. But other than that, we are committed to stay with that firm forever and give them 300 connections, 70 would be at a free price per connection, as well as another 70 at half price. But anyway, we're pursuing that. I just want to let you know we do need to hire somebody to look at it that's aggressive enough, a law firm or something that will actually go in and do something about it. Or we need to meet with Summit and see what their thinking works, which would be then buy the land, give us, maybe build a new facility, maybe go to a modular device that allows us to treat the water and not have to use those ponds, which is possible. There's that kind of equipment out there. I don't know, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at it multiple ways, and I think there's a larger issue at play because there's a lot of people with mitigation requirements to Wolf Creek irrigation. And I think we can probably, it would be a convoluted play, but I think it might be the best play where it involves multiple land swaps and then a construction of one large reservoir to help the mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
But requirements for both, or for the district, Wolf Creek development and the Powder Mountain development. And then in exchange, we would be looking to do a land swap for land that actually has development units associated with it to the Eden Heights owners and see if we could, because I think we looked at the parcel maps and I think there's about 20 acres over there that encompass the parcels that contain all of the sewage ponds.
Mm-hmm.
And it would give us space to develop as well if we chose to put a package plan in an aeration lagoon and then seek a point discharge permit. So I think there's going to have to be a lot of thought put into this so we know we have a coherent ask and it makes sense and is fair to all parties so we don't end up in litigation. I think the other thing is, as far as I understand, the Eden Heights owners, Yamagata, has no intention to develop it, and they're actively marketing it for sale right now.
Are they?
But they're, their asking price is exorbitant. I think they're somewhere around $16 or $17 million for the land. So
for the EPA waste site that it basically is.
Well, they've got I think somewhere around 1,300 acres there along the bench on both sides of the road,
yeah.
And they're marketing it as a complete package. And I think that they would be foolish. One thing that I think we have going for us is they would be foolish since they don't have any connection rights to Wolf Creek Sewer. To push
right.
us too far, because if they are actively soliciting buyers for development land, they're going to need us to take their waste anyway. So,
I'd like to grow this conversation in closed session, since arguably it does meet closed session definition.
Yep.
Okay. Then I'll wait for that. I have some questions.
Okay, great. Let's move on then. That's a good suggestion. If you all support that, we're great. Carry your treasurer's report, item number F.
All right, we'll just go through the balances real quick, and I'll go through the liens. You'll notice there's not a P&L in here because I'm revising it. It's not current. It's not correct, so there's really no reason for it.
Is there anything we need to be concerned with or any?
No.
Okay.
No, there isn't. So you've got a balance. I moved some money to Zion so we could get started with issuing checks out of there so we can proceed with closing Wells Fargo. So right now there's only $62,800 in there. The balance, I moved $50,000 over, which gives us, I made the deposit Friday. So in Zion's right now, there's $57,969. And you'll notice that we have two accounts. One of them is Impact, one of them is General. So the Impact actually has $79,499. That was the funding of the vehicle. And then you've got your PTIF account. Right now, there's $266,873 in there. As soon as the bond paperwork is finalized on Wednesday, it will go into the PTIF account, and that'll... our bond will issuance in there. Liens, there's three of them that need to be placed, and I released two of them. So that's where we stand with those. Pretty much everybody's current.
Great. Any questions, trustees? Great, then we'll move on to item G. I'd entertain a motion to go to close.
I
move we go into closed session.
Bob, is that a second? Gary's first, or excuse me, Mark is first. I got it.
I'll second.
Gary, second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, we're in closed session. Great.